All right. What's going on, Rock Church family? I could not be more excited today. Today I have a very special guest. She's going to be familiar to a lot of you guys. But this here is my beautiful pride and joy, my daughter. Say, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself, just what you're into, who you are, how old you are.
I'm Sayla Lorenzen. I am Pastor Josiah's daughter. I am 16 years old tomorrow.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet. Tomorrow.
Cherishing my last couple days.
Yeah. I like to bake a lot. I really enjoy baking. I spend a lot of my time doing homework. I'm at school a lot.
What else you do?
I also like to... I play volleyball, which is fun, and go to coffee shops.
And you love coffee shops.
Yeah.
And you watch a lot of movies.
Yep. Movies, podcasts. Sometimes I'll read a book.
Yeah. What are your favorite podcasts?
I like With the Perrys.
With the Perrys. Yeah. That's is that Jackie Hill Perry?
Yeah. That's Jackie Hill Perry and Preston Perry. Lately, I've been getting into the Salty podcast, which is by Devin Cordell.
Okay. What's that?
She kind of talks about, she brings different people on and they talk about their testimonies.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I've not heard that one.
It's a smaller one.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll dabble with Sadie Robertson, but not as often.
Don't I hear you listening to Candace Owens?
Oh. Candace Owens and Brett Cooper.
What is it about Candace that you like?
She's a strong woman.
Mm.
It's very intriguing to me.
A strong,
and she's smart.
Very smart. Strong woman, smart, but also committed to being a woman.
Yeah, she's not afraid to like show her femininity. I like that about Brett Cooper, too. They're strong, they're smart, they're committed to having good families and taking care of their homes, but they also do amazing things.
Yep. Well, that kind of leads right into what we're going to talk about today. So when I asked Sayla, I said, hey, Say, I want to have you on the podcast, but what do you want to talk about? And it's funny, she likes this topic. I can say, and I think you would agree, this is not a topic that I push on you at all.
I don't think you've ever pushed it on.
Right, and obviously mom would not have pushed this on you either. But we're going to talk about feminism, biblical femininity, what that looks like in church life, in family. Sayla's passionate about this topic, which is fascinating, having a 15-year-old that's passionate about that. But yeah. I guess explain a little bit, why are you passionate about that topic?
I think it's because it's one of the bigger issues in our culture.
Mm.
I mean, we have like a rise of feminism. And as a young girl, I get that a lot. I mean, it's in our movies, it's in our podcasts, it's in the music we listen to. Women want to be free from men, they want to have jobs, they want to have power, quote unquote.
Mm.
And it's just something that I became passionate about. I think it really started with, you know, me listening to podcasts and starting to read books and just being like, wait, this doesn't add up to the Bible,
right?
What we're saying.
Right. 100%. And it's something that we are constantly watching for when we watch movies and I've probably annoyed you one too many times by coming in and being like, woke.
Barbie movie.
What movie?
Barbie movie.
Yes. What was it? What was that scene that we saw?
I think it was one with, what's the guy from The Notebook?
Oh, I don't remember his name.
Whoever it is. Whoever was Ken in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what he was talking about.
Was he on a horse and they called the horse
yes.
something?
Mm-hmm. They called, it was a joke, they cracked a joke about the horse.
Yeah.
And how he was, it pretty much was just emasculating him and showing how he was stupid, Barbie was smart.
Which we always talk about. How many shows and movies are all about the woman being super smart and strong and the man being really weak and dumb?
Every movie, every movie.
Yeah. Which the other day, this is really funny. What was the thing that you said that you were desiring in a man? That we all cracked up at family dinner?
Oh, he has to be strong. physically and mentally.
I do not push this on her. But what'd you say? Something about going to the gym? It cracked me up. What'd you say?
Well, I mean, I think that a man should desire to be strong. I mean, physically, mentally, all of it. I mean.
No, but you mentioned bulking up a little bit.
I think a man should be able to bulk. I go to the gym. I expect him to go to the gym.
Hey.
He's a man. I'm a woman. A man, guess what, can get muscle easier than a woman. So if I'm doing what I need to do, I'm going to find a man that's equally yoked. I'm going to the gym. I'm learning about God. So I expect the same from a man that I would.
Listen, men, whichever one's going to be brave dating my daughter, good luck. No, just joking. So let's talk a little bit about this whole feminism deal. What is the problem in your eyes?
I think one of the biggest problems is that women want to find fulfillment in something. Mm-hmm. So they think that their issue is that they're called to be in the home, right? They think that maybe that's what's not giving them fulfillment. And like, well, maybe I'm going to find fulfillment in this or in this. And I think, I mean, you can see that all throughout our history, people are always trying to find fulfillment in different things.
Yep.
And I think the issue is that you're not going to find fulfillment in a job. You're not even going to find fulfillment taking care of your home or having babies. That's not going to give you fulfillment. The only thing that's going to give you fulfillment is God.
Mm.
And when you're chasing after your emotions or you're wanting this, right? You're wanting, your emotions are telling you that you want to go get a job or you want to be powerful and you want to be over your husband. But really, emotions are deceitful. All you really need to do is submit to God, and that's the only thing that will fulfill you.
Mm. Amen. It's interesting that you've grown up kind of in that culture. I think a lot of people would consider you biased, but do you think the women that you're surrounded yourself with are weak women?
No. Have you met my Mimi? One of the most influential people.
Her Mimi is her
people.
Grandmother, my mother. But.
Yeah. She's one of the most influential people in my life, and she's so strong, and she's so biblically smart. She's so intellectually smart, but she also submits to her husband. Like, I watch her constantly submit to my grandpa, even when she doesn't want to.
So when
she's
you say
strong-willed.
Something like submit to your husband, a lot of people listening to this will be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really, why are you okay with it? Because this is not something that I have pushed down your throat at all. You've kind of come to the passion about this. Like, why are you okay with that?
Well, I think it's because I learned it the right way. Some people learn it in a way that's like, a woman is under a man, right? Mm. She's not as good as a man, but that's not what submit means at all. Mm. You can submit to something and not be under it. Like, I submit to my teachers. I listen to them, but that does not mean I'm less than.
Yeah, like you're less valuable
yeah,
than.
Yeah, I'm just as valuable, but I also know my role. And there are rules. Our world works in rules. Like, if there are no rules, it would be really confusing, right? You need to have different jobs for things to function.
Yeah, and I think this is a huge problem in our country in general. I was talking to someone about politics yesterday and just that the importance of the nuclear family, the importance of the role of a man and the role of a woman, going back to a time where we cherish that, where we want to raise kids, where it's not frowned upon for a woman to stay at home.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Like,
I mean, I think that, I mean, that, in my opinion, just has to do with how we don't see staying home as real work. Hmm. That's one of the hardest things you could do. I mean, I've seen my mom, I've seen my grandma, I've seen Tiffany, who's my aunt, I've seen Jen, all these women who work hard. Yeah. They're not just sitting on the couch chilling.
Yeah.
They actually have work to do. They're taking care of the home. They're making meals for their families.
Right.
They're taking the kids to school. They're picking them up. They're teaching them valuable lessons. And that's some of the hardest, most valuable work you can do.
Right.
So I think when you have that aspect or that viewpoint, then you're not going to see it as invaluable.
Right.
It's just as valuable as a normal job, if not more.
Yeah. So do you, like, it was funny when I asked you, hey, what do you want to do when you get older? And again, haven't pushed this on you at all. I remember cracking up a couple years ago when, you know, I send you to an academy. You're at a private school, a Christian academy. You do very well in school. Smart kid by the grace of God. But I ask you, hey, what do you want to do when you get older? Oh, well, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom.
Said that my whole life.
And you say it with such confidence. And it's so interesting, and it's so contrary to the rest of the world that finds their identity. They think that having a job that makes a lot of money somehow provides you with an identity that's more valuable than a mother that chooses to stay home and raise children. Mm-hmm. Like, do you find purpose in that as a woman?
Yeah. I think that if most women dig deep, and I'm not saying all, you can be a feminine woman and maybe not have just the desires, but I think a woman naturally has desires to stay home. And I think if you really lean into your femininity, which, I mean, it's natural, then you're going to desire to do that.
What about a man that wants to stay home and raise the kids and a woman go work?
You know, I think there's different situations for everything. And I think it's hard because I know some people could be like, well, I'm in this situation, right? And I know it really does depend on the situation, but I truly believe that a man should work and that a woman should stay home. And that's not always the case. I mean, we have people in our church, we have women that are strong that take care of their children, but they also work.
Yep.
But I think the biggest thing is that your heart is in your home. And I truly think that the best way to do that is to stay home. And I mean, it's not like you can never work, but when you're first having those babies, right, you're having these young children, I think it's very crucial that those first years of your life, you're home with them and you're teaching them.
Yeah.
And then as they get older, I mean, get a side job. It's fine. But
the power of that, people don't realize that if, I mean, as a church, if we want to shape a culture, change a city, imagine that every mother took seriously the role of discipling their kids. You know, I don't want to ever throw shade or talk down about people that bring their kids to daycare. But is that hard for you to see?
Yes. And I think there's always situations where you're going to need it. And I mean, there's grace for that. It's fine. But your kids are not going to get discipled the same way they would from a daycare, from other people watching them, as they would from you. Also, it's not the same values. It's not the same morals. No matter what, they're not going to teach you exactly what you would want to teach your kids. And I think that it's really important. I even think this about school. I mean, this might be, I think a lot of school, going to school, I mean, I have a special case because I go to a private Christian school. But I think it's a big deal to homeschool your kids or send them to a private academy, because your kids are learning a lot from the world. It's really important in those first, specifically the first 1 to 5 years, which are the biggest brain development ages for children, to be home with them and to be by them and to be teaching them constantly. And when you send them off to a preschool or somewhere where they're not learning those morals, they're not learning about Christianity, they're not learning about God, that's going to be a huge deal in their life.
Mm. I mean, would you say being 15 years old or about to be 16, that your environment at school shaped a lot of who you were?
Yes. I mean, I think it did a good chunk of it, but my school never necessarily told me. Are you talking about specifically feminism, or are you just talking about
in general? In general, like, has it shaped who
you are? Yes, because I mean, everything that I've done has been with the center. Like, the center has been God. My friendships, the center is Jesus. What I'm learning, the center is Jesus. Nothing, I'm just learning outside of it. Even my math, literally, we talk about God a lot in math class, which is surprising, because how does that even relate? I don't really know. But
the outside world's going to hear this and be like, "Oh, you've been indoctrinated." Like, your parents have shoved faith down your throat and you've been indoctrinated.
Yeah.
You just don't know what else is out there. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say to that?
I think that's just not true. You know this about me. I'm a questioner. I'm constantly questioning. I'm like, well, why? Well, I mean, it's like an internal, my wheels are always turning, always asking why. But so I do think through those things. It's not like whatever he teaches me, I just automatically believe. Like, I'm going to research it myself. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. Because, I mean, he might be wrong about some things. Not usually. I'm going to trust him 99% of the time. But you could be wrong. So
I'm wrong a lot.
Yeah, so I'm going to use God and, like, pray to him and, like, really try to think if that's right and on my school.
But are you educated about anything else? Are you educated about the beliefs of atheism or Hindu or Buddhism?
Yes, all the time. That's what I was just getting to. My school does not just teach me Christianity. They teach me other religions, and they let me think about it. I truly don't think anybody has ever gone up and said, you have to believe the Bible. Like, this is that. Like, we just had a sermon today. My principal was just talking about, you know, if you believe in God. And he was like, they don't push it. They say, we pray that you choose God, you know, and we are here to help you, and we're here to talk to you and educate you.
Yeah.
We're not going to push it down your throat, right? And then also, I'm in religion class now. I'm not blindsided. I'm learning about other religions. I probably know more about religions than any public schooler who's getting...
Well, maybe.
I'm saying hypothetically. I don't know any that are taking a religion class, is what I'm saying. So it's interesting that I go to a Christian school, but I'm not learning just about Christianity. I'm learning about Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Muslim, Mormonism. It's not just Christianity.
Yeah. But you have been raised in a Christian home, and one thing that I know that you've said that you've seen is just the logic behind God. Like, the orientation that a woman has to be feminine. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about biblical femininity, what are we usually talking about?
I think it varies. I think typically more just having your heart towards your home.
Yeah.
Biblically.
Orientation towards your home. Mm-hmm. And when we say home, what do we mean? Husbands.
Husband, children.
Children.
I mean, also, I think a huge part is taking care of your home, making your homes beautiful.
Yeah. Hospitality. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think that's a pretty big deal. But yeah, the logic behind that as a Christian, mm-hmm. and you've seen, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but, and of course I'm biased, of course that I'm going to look at my surroundings and judge this, but I see more fulfillment. I see more happiness. I see more joy in women that are oriented towards their homes. They find satisfaction and purpose because they've been designed that way. Now, that doesn't mean, we know the beautiful picture of the Proverbs 31 woman is not a woman that just does anything her husband says and stays at home and takes care of babies. They're entrepreneurial. They're creating things and starting things, but their heart is first and foremost for their husbands and their children. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yep. Well, there any other thoughts, I mean, that you have?
I mean, I think obviously being home is one of the biggest things, but I think there's also something really important about the way you carry yourself. Even, I mean, this might be debated, but even the way you dress. There is something truly beautiful that God put in a woman's heart to want to look beautiful, and you don't want to take that too far. You don't want to be vain, but you should look pretty for your husband.
Mm.
That is something that people are like, wait, what? No, why would you do that? Well, that's actually very important. Why wouldn't you? God made people visual.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important way to submit. And it's not like, I mean, how would you explain that?
No, I think you're right. I think that being beautiful is a very natural desire for a woman. And we see stories of it in the Bible about women that were very beautiful. And I think women should desire beauty, of course, not idolizing it, of course, not taking it to vanity and making it an ultimate thing. But yeah, men are visual, women desire to be beautiful. I think that's something that should be pursued. And I've, on another note, I think men should take it more seriously.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost where men actually dress professional and look nice or carry themselves well and look clean. And
because you're going to be respected more.
Yes, the way you view yourself, the way you walk around. Totally different topic, but I completely agree with you in terms of femininity.
Yeah.
In that way. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we didn't talk about. Women that basically, she brought it up in the beginning, that want to find fulfillment in things like a job or a career. This whole run of feminism has really, what we ended up with was abortion.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but.
Yeah, I mean, I totally disagree with it. I'm a Christian. I'm going to have a Christian view on it. I do think you can be a Christian, though, and still be against abortion.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Bible tells you not to do this. I mean, how could you kill God's child? I mean, those babies are living inside the womb. They're not just a clump of cells. It's a person, and I don't think how you could do that. And I think that also goes back to your heart, because, I mean, even things like birth control. I mean, I have not heard one argument for why birth control is good. I haven't.
I've never talked to you about this.
No, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I haven't heard one good argument, and that could change. But so far, and I know there's special cases, but I have not heard a good argument. I think it really is women who aren't trusting in God and have their desires outside of their home. Because if you trust in God enough, why not just trust God that he's going to give you a baby when you need it, when he wants to give you a baby? I think that's really important.
So then clearly you have a plan to have a lot of kids.
Yes.
Yeah, do you? I've never asked you that question before.
I mean, I think it's biblical. I think I should raise children of God and, you know, create disciples for him. So why not? I think that's another thing too. People more and more are having less and less children. Yeah. But that's not what the Bible calls us to do. Yeah. The Bible calls us to have children and to disciple the world, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that if you're not producing more children of God.
Yeah. So let me play devil's advocate a little bit. So say, look, the world's getting more expensive.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's easy for you to say as a kid that lives in a nice home, that have parents that take care of you, to say all of this stuff. But, you know, me and my husband, we have to work two jobs to be able to afford the house that we want to live in.
Yeah.
And because of that, I have to bring my kids to daycare. Mm-hmm. Those are the tough situations that you deal with as a pastor and in a church. What would you say to that?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the special cases, right? That's an area where you have to give grace. You have to be like, you know what? I know you're taking kids to daycare, but I think you just need to trust God that he will grow you out of it. And that, I mean, it's not like I'm sure there's somebody. But I think if you trust God, you're giving money to the church, you're really working at it, I don't think you're going to be poor forever. I think God has a plan for you. And if you're trusting him and if you're working at it, you can't just sit there and blindly like trust, just whatever.
And I think there's two sides to this. I think for a woman to be biblically feminine, as they're called, requires a man to be biblically masculine, as he's called.
This is something I've said before, like, I'm not going to marry a man without a plan. And I know that sounds bad, and people are gonna be like, wait, what? But
when you say a plan, you mean
financially? I mean a plan financially, yes. Yeah. Because men are called to take care of their homes. Mm. They are called to make the money. And listen, if I don't want to be harsh, but if they're not doing the job God has given them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're not going to have hard times. You can have hard financial times. But I think ultimately, a man should figure out, should be constantly praying and trying to figure out a way for his family to be financially stable, because God calls him to do that. He calls him to provide.
Yeah. And I think that's what usually happens as a pastor in the church, is a woman has a desire. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what, Josiah, I want to leave my job. Mm-hmm. I want to raise my babies. I don't want to send my kids to daycare anymore. And my first task as a pastor is not usually to deal with a woman and be like, hey, yeah, quit your job.
Yeah.
My first task as a pastor is usually like, hey, what's your husband do for work? Mm-hmm. Is he providing enough income? And if not, is there an issue with laziness? Is there, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions. So there's two sides of this coin.
Yeah.
To be biblically feminine, as we talked about, requires a man to be biblically masculine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we know that's to provide, to protect, mm-hmm. to lead his home spiritually.
And that's one of the other reasons feminism is, I mean, you see masculinity declining and you see feminism going up, because men are getting ran over by women, right? Men suck. Men do this. You don't need a man. Yeah. Well, no, you do need a man. Mm. We need to empower men. I think that's something else that really bothers me, how women put down men so harshly. Mm. We could do nothing without men. Mm. Literally nothing. And that's just insecure women saying that they don't need men.
Mm. Well, I mean, you could do something, but I hear what you're saying.
No. Yeah. Well, without men, what could we do? We'd all die off. Genuinely.
I love your passion. No, I hear you. Well, is there anything else that you want to add to the? I mean, I think this was a great talk. A lot of this I've never even brought up with you before. No?
I think that's good.
All right. Well, appreciate it, Selah, coming on the podcast today. I'm sure I will have you again. But Rock Church, we love you. We hope you guys take this and learn from it and question it and throw comments at it. But we love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.